we're here at the Cover Up Cafe. I'm Jerry Pippin, and we're broadcasting from Roswell. It's the 60th anniversary, and a lot of people drop by. The lady who does the Discovery Channel website was just here and checking out. A lot of media, 250 major media passes were given out to this entire little affair that goes on and on. We start early in the morning, and we walk around like zombies at 10 or 11. And when I call it quits and check out, there's still people going. I tell you, Bill McGowan, you're probably one of those guys.
I'm one of them, yeah.
Keep on.
I know, just keep on going.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about your book, Diary of a Psychic Visionary.
Yes.
And we've had you on before?
Yes, I was over there in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, right. A few months ago.
And we talked a little bit about it at that time, but let's get into a little more detail this time.
Okay.
Tell me a little bit about why you come to these things.
Okay, well, I come to these for a lot of reasons. One thing, I do believe that the aliens are here, but and I have written a book here. I know I've been abducted since I was around 5 years old. And I think it stopped several years ago, but right now I'm 65 years old. Need a little bit louder. So anyway, I just had an awful lot happening. And when we lived out in the country outside of Birmingham, Alabama, we lived about 35 miles from Birmingham. And we had, a pretty good little drive to go down there. And in that time frame, we had missing time. I had a wife and four children, and I know one time we was driving from Birmingham back to down around Vinson, Alabama, and we had missing time there. We arrived at home, and then we found ourselves about 20 miles back up the road going back home again. And this was in the early 70s, and there just wasn't any information about that at the time. So we just kind of scratched our head and kind of blew it away, And then, as time went on, we had more and more, events happening. And like I said, this was in the early 70s, and there wasn't anything written about this. You couldn't find anything on missing time and alien abductions and things like that. But anyway, we went through all that for several years. I had a 30-foot circle of grass right outside the bedroom window, and it died. And I worked on that for years and years. I went ahead and put a fertilizer on, grass seed, and I tried to get grass to grow. It wouldn't grow. And I didn't know that a UFO might kill grass out there, But I wound up digging it up and putting in more dirt and putting in more grass seed, more fertilizer, and yet it still didn't grow. We was there another 7 years. Whenever we left, there were still only small sprigs of grass growing in that circle. And as time went on, the aliens actually came into my house, and they would, levitate me and do who knows what.
Literally, did you say they were levitating?
Yeah, they would. There was one time in particular, and I got it written up in my book here, and they would pick me up in the air, and they'd turn me sideways, and it would feel like electricity going from my head to my feet.
Now wait, I want to get this picture right.
Yeah.
They made you levitate.
Yes.
And all of a sudden you were facing them, but you turned sideways.
Yeah, they went in and turned me sideways.
Like that, huh?
Yeah, they turned me, 90 degrees sideways. I don't know why they did that, but I was up above the bed.
you don't have to wait for this $200 million ride they're making here in Roswell with the theme park, do you? You have one.
No, that's right. I was afraid it's going to take me out the window or through the window. But they didn't do it that night, and I've had several.
But I think you probably did before it was over.
I may have, because your nerve memory is just kind of erased, and I would try to see a clock. I always had a digital clock, and they would come in sometimes, and it would feel like just 2 minutes went by or whatever, and then when they let me go, it might be 20 minutes, And that happened over and over again. That was when I was living there in Jacksonville, Florida. So there's just so many things that happen.
So in other words, you're saying it just didn't happen in Birmingham?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, this happened. It happened there in Jacksonville, Florida. And that was going to put it up into the late 80s. And they had come in my house. And, I've had all kind of strange events with them. But I also had a near-death experience, like in September of 1987. And after that, I had even more things happen. I became very, very psychic. And I kept getting more and more psychic, and I kind of wonder, maybe they was raising my vibration somehow. I just don't know.
Do you have any idea why this was happening to you and not to other people? I mean, your wife, I guess, and family was involved.
They were. We divorced back in 86.
Was this part of the, I don't mean to pry, but was this a problem, part of this, was this part
no,
of
it? No, actually, it wasn't,
so,
yeah.
So everybody was together on what this was?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And so, but you know, as time went on, living down in Jacksonville, I was down there about 4 years, and I become very, very psychic. I started having visions of, well, I also had precognitive dreams, and these visions would come true, and also the precognitive dreams would come true. It might take 2 days up to maybe a week, and these things would happen, and I could see it, and then I could see it on the news, you know, 2 days, 4 days, 5 days later. It's exactly what I was showing in my
dream. So, in other words, you were getting a future peak.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, older and older. About different, you know, with that. So it kept going on, and that went on and on for...
Now, what kind of incidents were you getting this future peak of? I mean, what were you seeing?
Okay, well, mainly these were airplane crashes and ships sinking. And then when this Palestinians and the Israelis over there got into their war.
So in other words, you had an advance notice of bad events happening.
Oh, yeah. That's mainly what I pick up on. I hate to say that, but I pick up on death and destruction more than I do anything.
You never got to the point where you could look at somebody and say, well, they're not going to be here next week.
I'm afraid I've done some of that, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's why I don't have any friends now. It's just... You know, people say, hey, you know, Bill is psychic. You know, go ask him this, go ask him that. And I had a good friend.
Well, I'm clouding my mind right now. No, go ahead.
But anyway, this friend of mine called me up one night and said that her brother's in the hospital. And he said, is he going to be all right? And I said, no, he's going to die within 14 days. And she just could not understand. He said, oh, good, good. He's going to get better in 14 days. And I said, no. I hate to say it, but he's going to die in 14 days. And she just kept repeating, he's going to be okay. And I said, no. And then, you know, we kind of disconnected there, and he died on the 14th day. And she didn't really speak to me for years. I mean, in a way, they blame you for this. They will think, hey, you said it, so you caused it. And I keep telling, no. A psychic is here to help you to see the future so you can change it. The future can be changed if you know what's coming.
Now you have the psychic abilities. Have you been out to the crash site?
No, here? I haven't, no.
It would be great for you to come out to go out there and see if you picked up anything. You know what?
Yeah, it would now. Yeah.
I would like to go out to Hangar 84 myself with three or four psychics. And
oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, I think I got to leave early Monday, but when are you leaving?
Just sometime Monday. Just
well, hey, I may get a hold of you. We may get three or four psychics and go out there and see what we can do.
Oh, yeah. Well, I tell you what, you know, I pick up on ghosts real easy. Ghosts and spirits coming around. So that hadn't been a problem picking up on them, you know.
But let's get back to the abductions and all of this. When is the last time you've had something like this happen?
I don't think they've abducted me in the last several years. I think they stopped. And I'm 65 years old, and I think, well, man, maybe I'm too old. And I think, well, let's get somebody young, yeah. But they had abducted me, I'm sure, you know, numerous times. And then my wife is one of the main ones who had missing time, though. And she'd go back and forth to Birmingham to the doctor, take a child in, and it kept taking 4 hours to drive 35 miles back home.
Other members of your family or your wife's family, have they ever said anything like this happened to them?
No.
The reason I ask, you know, it goes in families, they say.
I know. Well, I firmly believe that my kids have been abducted. And then when I think back about my mother and she had a couple of miscarriages, I wonder if they were really miscarriages, you know. And now my wife had two miscarriages.
So there may have been something to this the hybrid.
I think there's a good possibility, you know. And back then, you know, 35, 40 years ago, you didn't read about this. You know, there wasn't anything written about it. But she had two miscarriages, and when I asked the doctor what was it, you know, well, you want to know what sex they are. I don't know. And then just run off. He turned and just ran off in both times. I don't think there was anything in there to take. I think that the agents came in the middle of the night and took the baby, and then that was it. So my wife would wake up, you know, hey, I got a problem, take me to the hospital. It's 35 miles of town, we're going to town, going to the hospital, and the doctor, you know, what was it? I don't know. And, you know, I said, well, okay, you know, but they would never talk about it.
Tell me a little bit about this book. Why did you write it? I can imagine it's good therapy just putting it down.
It is. The main thing I wrote this book for, because of the spontaneous miracle healings I've had. I've had like 6 spontaneous miracle healings, and these are from God. You know, this isn't any alien thing. It's from God. And when I say spontaneous miracle healings, I mean I was cured instantly. And I don't mean I had cancer and 6 months later I felt better. I mean it was pulled out of me in moments. And I've had so many different ailments. And it just, you know, it's just, you know, miracle healing.
So in other words, I'm trying to get a hold on how you really feel. I mean, you feel you were chosen by God or by the ETs or both, or they connected or what?
I think it's both. I really do. As far as my book goes, I consider the book to be about 10% alien and about 90% about God. The aliens are here. I know they're taking us. I know they're all around us. I know they can read your mind. I know they can put thoughts in your mind. I know they can erase your memory. It's pretty much like what the government can do to you, too, of course. We all know that. You know, so...
Okay, now, the book Diary of a Psychic Visionary, and that would be you,
yeah.
I assume, by Bill McGowan.
Well, McCowan, really. It's that MCC, really.
Okay, and yeah. Now, when you... Where can I get this book, is what I'm getting at?
Well, you can go on the Internet and get it, or if you just go on my website. I got a real simple website, BillMcCowan.com. And I can order draft one and mail it right to your house.
Okay, that's MCCOWAN.
Right, it's just BillMcCowan.com. I got a website, and you can go on there and you can get more information on there, and you can read about the book. And it's been a really wild, like, 19 years. All right.
Bill McGowan, thank you very much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you a lot.
Okay.
Get out of this thing.
We're at the Cover Up Cafe. I'll be right back. The biggest secret ever is about to be revealed. Fast Walkers. UFO and alien disclosure.
Words you were never meant to hear.
It's clear we're dealing with a cosmic Watergate.
This is the biggest secret in the history of the human race, the known modern history of government.
Photos you were never meant to see. Video you never knew existed. People you were never meant to meet.
As Jack Nicholson would say, you can't handle the truth.
Essentially everything that you would want to know has been covered up.
Things you were never meant to know about.
No one has produced a higher quality, better produced DVD. Anytime, anywhere. Fast Walkers now available on DVD for only $19.95 at ShopJerryPippin.com.
Hello, everyone. We're at the Cover Up Cafe here in Roswell, New Mexico, and we have an interesting person. I think you'll find, for one thing, he's prolific. He's written an unbelievable amount of books, and we'll let him tell you all about that in a moment. Michael D. Eldridge?
Eldridge, yes.
Okay. Tell me, the reason we invited you on the show is you've written one book. How many books have you written altogether?
97 altogether.
I saw that on the information you gave me, and I thought, that must be a typo. But you've written 97. All of them available?
They are smaller booklets that we just gave to the people.
Yeah, you're going to have to get into that mic a little bit.
They're smaller booklets that we gave away as the years have gone by, and of course
now,
we...
Now, you're a minister. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes, I've been a minister all my life, and I've been preaching in what we would consider regular religious circles for 30 years, and then in 1987, I had an encounter with God, and he changed a lot of things in my life so that I could be taught by the Spirit to bring a revelation forth to Christians
now
and religious
people. You
wrote
a book about Revelations itself and UFO, the connection, right?
Yes, I did the entire book of Revelation out of the Bible and put in all the UFO revelation in the text.
Well, can you give our listeners some examples of what we're talking about here? Because a lot of people in traditional religion are just turning you off when you start talking like that.
Yes, they do on a regular basis, but the Lord knew they were going to react like that, so he allowed me to go ahead and do the translation so that it shows the spaceships, it shows the beings, it shows the names of the beings, it shows where they're coming from in the cosmos.
Well, now tell me about the spaceship. Is it one spaceship, a lot of spaceships?
Oh, there's a lot of spaceships. The one that I was on was a shuttlecraft in 1989.
Now, how did this happen? I mean, you don't go down and buy a ticket at the airport.
No, after several encounters, three encounters with the Lord face to face, then he sent his angels, and they. I lived in a little town in southern Illinois, and I was instructed to take a two-mile walk. On the two-mile walk,
When you say you were instructed, you got the idea, or did you hear a voice, or what happened?
I heard a voice speak to me.
And what kind of voice was it? Was it deep, a male voice, an electronic voice?
No, it just sounded like a male voice, but a very pleasant, kind male voice.
Okay. And it told you to take a walk?
Yeah, actually, they told me to read in the Bible to turn to Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1. I read that verse, and that's where Ezekiel had encountered the four spaceships back in the Old Testament days.
Mm-hmm. And so you read that chapter, and what happened next?
I read that verse, and I went on my two-mile walk, and on a perfectly clear blue sky day with not a cloud in the sky, a gigantic cloud came down instantly in the field where I was at, with lightning bolts that were 3 feet in diameter hitting the ground out of it. And
so a storm cloud with lightning bolts and thunder surrounded you.
Absolutely, but it wasn't a storm cloud. It wasn't raining or anything. It was one of the clouds that the spaceships are mentioned in the Bible in that came into field. And I saw the spaceship after the fact. It stayed in the cloud the entire time until I was given three instructions and visited about 15 or 20 minutes. Then it went up into the sky, and I was allowed to see it at a distance. And the spaceship was amber in color with a gigantic, what looked like waves of rainbow colors all around it. And I started writing books.
Are we talking about a big ship or what?
This was a shuttlecraft, but it was large. It was probably 120 feet in diameter or something like that.
So when it took you aboard the mothership, for lack of a better term,
yes.
What was that like?
Well, I was still on the ground. The craft was in the air, and I was told to look up in the sky, and I saw this singular cloud in the sky. And when I did, I bodily went into the cloud and back on the earth as fast as you can blink your eyes because it startled me. Then they stopped for about 5 minutes, and then they instructed me again, and I did that again. And the next time I was taken into the sky, into this light beam that took me up there, and I watched the earth descend below my feet as I went into the shuttlecraft.
Now, being a religious person, were these people, or these ETs, these entities, would you classify them as angels or what?
Well, yes, the biblical term is angel, but actually they are extraterrestrial and celestial beings that are in the hierarchy of God in outer space.
And what did they appear? Did they look like us? Or
I've seen six different forms of those beings.
What kind? What type?
The first type that I saw looks like a typical Nordic, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, about average. They could walk down the street here in Roswell, and nobody would know the difference whether they were from here or from outer space.
And you saw, were all of these beings all basically the same as far as their mission in life? And right? In other words, were they all, did you think of them as being good?
Absolutely. These were good, holy beings that I interacted with. I have met the bad ones, too.
Oh, you have?
Absolutely.
This came later, I assume.
Yes.
And why did they show up?
I was allowed to not only see the bad ones, but to have angels help me to defeat the bad ones out of people's lives and situations on Earth.
So how does this work exactly? Defeat, you mentioned that. I mean, are you saying we have guardian angels, good and evil?
There are guardian angels.
All the time?
Yes, there are. If we get in tune, Christians and religious people would allow God to go ahead and open the realms up to them, they would have wonderful lives ahead of them to interact with the angels.
Now, we're in Roswell. The crash back in 1947, this is 60 years later. Do you think that is connected to what your experiences were? Or what do you think about this incident?
I don't think that's directly connected with my life.
I always meant the same people, Paul, or the same entities.
I don't think they're the same entities at all. I believe those were entities from another place in the cosmos.
Now, this book is available. Do you have a website or something?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, why don't you give that?
It's kind of lengthy. I'll say it slow.
Okay, we have a link. Say it slow for people who are away from the computer.
All right. It's www.yahshashmelkezministeries.org. Yahshua's Melchizedek Ministries.org.
Let's have a lot of guests coming up, so we don't have as much time as I'd like, but you've written another book about UFOs in the Bible, right?
Absolutely. I translated the entire New Testament with the UFO information verse for verse in the entire Bible.
Can you give me an example of what we're talking about? Most people that read the Bible, they don't think about UFOs.
Well, for instance, the star that guided the shepherds and the wise men. All of us know that stars do not move across the universe and around the earth and guide an individual who's walking along to a cave to find a newborn baby. But a Savior's Time Ark rescue ship, that's what the word STAR means in the Bible, absolutely can come down and hover over your head at walking speed and direct you exactly to any location on earth.
So your message in connection with extraterrestrials and religion is what exactly? If we don't do something, the end of the world is here, or what?
No, I'm just, the Lord told me to make the Revelation book and the Bible available to the population, especially Christians and religionist persons, to help open their eyes to see that the whole cosmos is populated, that God and His holy angels or messengers are just as real as you and I. They just are able to materialize and dematerialize, and they can come and go out of your life, and they do. Most everyone's had encounters with them. They don't even know it. The spacecraft are available for helping everybody on Earth that's positive and wants to be helped by the Lord.
Do you think of these encounters you had as encounters or abductions or contact or what?
No, contacts. I've never been abducted. Only evil beings abduct people.
So all of your experiences were definitely not abductions, but contact.
Absolutely. I was contacted, informed of how to do things, and then I was treated very nicely at all times. It's gone on for the last 20 years. It's gone on even this week as I came to Roswell.
It happened while you're driving or what?
Absolutely. They moved me 50 miles from outside of Roswell on Route 70 into Roswell because I had an appointment to keep and I was going to be over an hour late, so they moved me.
I can identify that. We almost missed our first show.
Yes.
I got to Clovis. I thought I was almost here. Guess
right.
What? You're not.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, Michael, it's been a pleasure. Michael D. Eldridge, let's give him a hand again. Thank you very much. Wish we had more time, but...
Thank you very much.
Hey, we've had fun at the Cover Up Cafe, and we've had the food is good here. If you're ever in Roswell, you need to come by and try it, right down the street from the UFO Museum. And I've enjoyed it. We'll be back with another show tomorrow night. And this series on Roswell will continue on JerryPippin.com right up through Christmas. We have about 200 shows in the can, and they'll be rolling. Well, maybe 25 shows. No, we have well over 50 in all seriousness. So we have a lot of shows yet to come, and they'll be on our website. You come and check it anytime you want to. I'd like to thank Roberta Scott for being our location producer, and Jane Swartley sitting over in the corner is our post-production editor. She comes on a nice vacation. We stick her in a hotel room with a computer and make her edit all day. We let her out for a couple hours. Until next time, thanks for listening. This is Jerry Pippin. Good night.